Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. Now time for a very time-looped edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply loop on by. It doesn't make any sense, but I said it anyway. Can you loop by a game?
Sure you can loop by a game. That means you walk past it and then you looped on back, right?
But I need it in like the negative connotation.
oh, that's where we're going with this game. I see you.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying that the game is bad.
No. We got it. We can stop listening now.
I am Corey. I am joined by, hopefully, the man that has nothing to do with anything in this game in terms of themes or actions, Basher.
I can honestly say I have no parts of this game whatsoever.
Have you ever been a cop?
I've never been a cop.
Have you ever?
Is this like a trap? Are we doing like a drug deal right now? Like, are you a cop? Because I legally can't say no, right?
So we agree you're not a cop.
Is that what right, you're exactly.
We agree. We are here to talk about 12 minutes. But before that, this episode is going to be a little bit different because 12 minutes is a game that's a little bit tough to talk about without spoiling. So we're going to give our opinions on the game spoiler free, and then we're going to be doing some spoiler talk, stuff like that. Just a heads up, but we'll be definitely going over it spoiler free, and then I will give a very clear notion and very clear warning when we're going to talk about spoilers. But also, this is one I would like to get some feedback on. So did you know that you can send us an email at gpopfans@gmail.com, or if email's not your thing, you can call us right now or shoot us a text message. Pull out your phone before you even start listening to this. 574-651-9256. That's the phone number. Text it, voicemail, whichever you want, and let us know what you think about 12 minutes. But before that, here are the details. This was developed by Luis Antonio. This is one of those indie games that was literally made by one guy. So he hooked up with Annapurna, and he got some producing done by them. But they also brought in people like Willem Dafoe and Daisy Ridley to play some of the voice acting in this game. What are the Annapurna's out there making it happen? Regularly priced at $24.99. I classified it as a point-and-click adventure game, ? What would you classify this as?
I would say the same. I would say it's a point-and-clicker, right?
It is in its own unique way, which we'll talk about. So
it's definitely just adventure, if you want to just go broad term.
Correct. Available on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and on PC. No crossplay, because that doesn't really make any sense. There are no cloud saves, though, and there will be no DLC for this game. This is a one-and-done. Like the olden days. You play 12 minutes and you're done with it. Speaking of 12 minutes, we don't have to do this in 12 minutes, but let's talk about it.
But what if we did?
That would be a great YouTube video. 12 minutes. Actually, 12 minutes in 12 minutes.
Someone's done already.
Someone's had to have done that, right?
And it was super boring, probably. 12 minutes, it's one of those games that really kind of grabbed me from the beginning. So it's like you said, it's a we kind of want to call it a point-and-click adventure game simply because there's not a lot of, or any really, like, kind of twin-stick movement or whatever. You're really just clicking around your tiny, tiny apartment. Like, I don't know how these people are expecting and, but whatever, we'll get to that. But yeah, like, it takes place all inside of your one apartment that has about, what, 4 rooms, including a bedroom and bathroom and kitchen. And it's just sort of a murder mystery, if you will. Or not even a murder mystery.
Is there a kitchen?
Is a kitchen? Is it? Oh, no, there's not a kitchen.
There's
not
a kitchen, is there?
I remember making this. There's spoons and knives. So I just put that.
Oh, that's
kitchen.
Yeah. No, like, yeah, the right side of the living room is like the kitchen, right?
Yeah. It pick, just picture the worst, like, studio apartment in Manhattan that costs like $5,000 for rent, but right. It has like 2 rooms. It's one of those, and it takes place all in that one studio apartment, and just through dialogue and choices. And kind of point and clicking your way through the area, you start figuring out your wife is not really just your wife, or she has some secrets, if you will.
Yeah, it's a mystery game. That's what it sells itself on. And as you kind of start the game, your main character sort of starts to realize he's in a loop. It's not a game where you're trying to, what's the word I'm thinking? Like, when I think of adventure games, I usually think of the main character being kind of stupid, right? Like, you're sort of living through this world through this character. But it's kind of not the case here. It's kind of a little bit different in that since you're controlling the main character and it's an adventure game, you're trying to figure out why you're in this loop instead of really the world sort of instead of you exploring the world, if that makes sense. And so it creates a unique perspective in that way. But yeah, it's all about being a little bit different because there's a 12-minute loop and every time something, I don't say every time something happens, that's not true. This loop can alter itself depending on the choices that you make or the questions that you ask or the maybe the things that you do or maybe the things that you don't do. But you're stuck in this 12-minute loop and that is sort of the premise of the game. Again, it's hard to talk about without spoiling it in any capacity.
Well, that's actually kind of one of my first beefs with the game is I don't know what I was expecting with this premise, but let me ask you, did this game need to be called 12 minutes and have that kind of premise to it? Because it doesn't really – the minutes don't really come into play.
They do, but they don't.
Only in cinematic terms, like you
correct.
Still a matter. Like the thing that passes time, or creates a. I mean, let's call it a Nexus event. I guess finished watching some Marvel stuff. The thing that starts those things is your choices. You know, your choices and what you do and what you find and what you say. It's not really a countdown happening. I mean, there's even points where decisions you make, like picking up an object and using it, will have the main character go, "All right, and now we wait," and then it just simulates like time passing.
Right. I think that the game has an issue, like it's not really an issue, but when you explain the concept of there being a time loop in my brain, I think at the end of 12 minutes something detrimental happens that's why you're stuck in the time loop. And the trailers and the game was kind of sold on like something is going on, and at the end of this 12 minutes, like there's a reason that it's looping. So like to sort of answer your question, that I think it does help the game in strictly the thematic theme of sort of bringing you into the game. I don't think it particularly needs to be a focal point as you start to figure things out, but I don't know if that's a good or bad thing simply because it's an intriguing premise, but I don't I don't think it needs to be there to get the point across, if that makes sense.
I mean that's kind of what I was getting at, because at the end of each loop, what loops you is, I mean, and this is not a spoiler, because it's literally what you do in the first, I guess, 12 minutes of the game, is you die. So, like, your death causes the loop each and every time. For the most part, anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't have to, though. Like,
right.
That's sort of the...
That's how you break out of it, I guess, but at the same time...
Right, but you don't, though. Like,
right.
Like you break out of the loop in terms of... It's kind of got that Groundhog Day thing of, like, there are other options to reset the loop. And it's not... I think where it becomes more interesting is that the loop does not always end the same way, and you can actually end the loop sooner based on your decisions. There are certain things...
Exactly.
There are certain things that you can do to sort of trigger the loop faster. But also, you have the option to where at any point, if you want to, you can just walk out the front door and it resets the loop. Like, it basically does not let you leave the apartment because you need to be there for whatever reason.
I was just getting at the fact, not the fact, but rather my feeling that I don't feel like, I just don't feel the idea of the gimmick, if you will, of 12 minutes ever really comes into play.
Sure, yeah.
So, like, that's kind of like my first kind of like thing that I noticed, or rather it's the last thing that I noticed, because you have to go through several loops, and that's sort of what I realized. And it's just me personally as a gamer, I don't like playing the same thing over again, I don't think. I mean, that has nothing, that's less to do with this game and more to do with me. For example, Nier Automata, to get the true ending, you have to play the game, I want to say, what, 2-3 times?
It's three, but people would argue that there's different things that you do, but which is, while it's true, a majority of it is also the same, so.
I get it. After I beat your game, I beat your game. So, like, right. In a game like 12 minutes, it's heightened for me because there's dialogue you can't necessarily skip through. There's actions you can't necessarily, like, there's a fast forward, like, little option every now and then. But for the most part, I feel like I almost wanted like a checkpoint system of some kind where I'm like, listen, I know what I need to do now. I don't want to go through all the stuff to get there again just to accidentally screw up and screw up my loop. Like, for example, in order to get my wife in a certain position in the house, I needed to do certain actions. Well, I knew after several loops how to do that, but I wanted to get there faster. After a certain amount of loops, but the issue was, I misplaced a drink. I moved the drink here instead of there, and it just screwed up the whole loop, and it looped me back before I wanted to. And I'm just like, that doesn't need to happen all the time. Like, I know where I need to go. I would like some sort of checkpoint system into this, but like, I understand that's. Like, going through that is part of the process, though.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to have the same frustrations with this game, but I think it sort of falls into that point-and-click adventure game mantra, I guess you could say, of that, like, you have to... The logic is always not right in your face. Like, it's sort of convoluted at times in a way that doesn't make a lot of sense. But once you figure out the thing... You sort of open up the gate to the next area. But 12 minutes sort of does it in a unique way, because instead of giving you a much larger world with all these different characters, it loops you and loops you and loops you. So I think it takes away some of that frustration of an adventure game, to where it's like, I've got 8 different places I can go, and I have no idea where I'm supposed to be because I'm completely lost right now. Like, I've got these 4 items in my inventory. I don't know what to do with them because I have no idea where I'm supposed to be. In 12 minutes, the fact that, like, you're like, well, there's only 3 rooms I can be in. And not only that, there's a set amount of time to where I have to do this because eventually it won't work anymore. So I think it aids it in that way, but at the same time, it can be extremely frustrating because you're seeing the same thing sometimes relatively quickly, especially if you're trying to, like you said, you're trying to like, I'm trying to get my wife to do this thing, or I need her to stand here so I can do this thing. And I know she's going to do it, but I got to figure out when she's going to do it, or I need to figure out how to move her where I need her to be, like, et cetera, et cetera. And when you're doing that over and over and over, and then sometimes it doesn't amount to anything, I think it could be, and I'm sure it would be very frustrating. But again, the fact that you don't have a ton of different options in terms of where to go and how to do things, I think it helps it in that regard. So maybe it equals itself out. Maybe.
I mean, I think one of the best games I've ever played actually was somewhat recently, Disco Elysium. And I think when done well, nice and clean is when you have these adventure games and they kind of factor in great logic as well. I mean, that's what really kind of drives the gameplay in a way, because it's like you said, if the logic isn't right there in front of you, or just logical period, it creates too many gaps in gameplay where you're like, I don't know what to do now. I have these four things and like, I have no idea what to do. But then it's like, oh, the paperclip turns into a balloon. Like what? How did I know that? Like how would I know that? And I think I felt that way a couple more times than I would like in this game. Even with it being smaller than a larger scale adventure game, I still felt like I know what I would need to do, but like, how do you want me to do it? Because this clearly our logic is completely different.
Right, and that's. I guess my point is that I feel like everybody has that with adventure games, but like, there's also. I don't want to say there's a formula that you have to follow. Like, if you play enough of them, you sort of start to learn their quirks. So, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of people that I don't want to say enjoy, but are able, they just go about it differently. Like we try to think about things in a logical way whereas some people just play these games like, wow, this might not make sense, but it's a game. So I'm going to try it out. Like there's definitely an audience that is going to find this extremely frustrating. The fact that there's not a lot of guidance and you have to figure it out and they're gonna be like, no, this is stupid. And I think they're going to feel that way about adventure games in general. So I guess my kind of point is like, it's an adventure game, no matter what you do. And you're going to be frustrated by them or not. Like the Disco Elysium, I don't know if I quite agree. That's almost a different genre in my opinion. It's not quite the same design doc, I guess you could say. Like it's not trying to be an adventure game in the same sense. I think of like Grim Fandango and Day of the Tentacle and
sure, right.
You know, so like. That's kind of where I'm more leaning towards.
No, I mean, that's absolutely fair.
What I want to say is that I don't know if are we still just making excuses for those games? Because I feel like at some points I liked 12 minutes by the end of it, but I definitely sort of feel like if you had to ask me like, should you play this game? I feel like I would start making excuses for it.
I mean, that I think we had almost an opposite trajectory then, because I soured on it the more I played it actually, and a lot of my frustrations with the game came from, I guess, that logic wall. I think because I love me an adventure game, so it's like I feel like most of the time I could kind of lose myself inside the lore and figure out based on like the world that I'm in how it wants me to react. I feel like 12 minutes was it didn't have enough wiggle room in its pathway. Getting from point A to point Z was I found a lot more difficult because I had to specifically do A, B, C, D, E, F, G all the way through. And it wasn't, for lack of a better word, clever enough or not even clever, just flexible enough to say, okay, well, the cup's on the left side of the right. We get what there's no difference here. Like, we'll keep the loop going. We'll keep the story going. But in 12 minutes, you have to be very precise. You're not going to get that. There's several endings, and you're not getting the true ending without running the perfect loop. And I feel like that's where I just started hitting that wall.
The one there, just real quick, are there different endings? Because I don't get that.
No, they said they are. They're not.
Yeah, I don't. I've seen that said, and I have. Once I was done with the game, I went online because I did. I was very specific to not go online with it, or you know, look up things about it. And then people are like, "Oh, there's three different endings." I'm like, "No, I think you just didn't finish the game, because you can always get back." But it. What I will say is the end can be very obtuse in a negative way. You could very easily not discover the quote true ending or the actual ending, and you could get stuck in the loop. But at the same time, I think that's kind of the point. By the end of it, I definitely felt like the message, how can I say this? The game goes places. It goes in a direction that you're not really thinking about, and it doesn't really allude to it either. Like there's nothing in this world that sort of hints at what's actually happening. And
I mean, you can go spoilers at this point. I mean, we're all...
I guess before we do that, like, because we haven't really said... We've said a lot, but we haven't said enough, I think, before we can go to spoilers. When it comes to... For people that just want to know if you should play it or not, I am leaning towards no.
I'm also leaning towards no, and it's not, I don't have to rehash our logic on this, but, it's just a matter of, for me, the looped, the idea of running in this loop is, it's just not, for me, it just got super annoying, like just flat out. It just got really annoying, knowing that I knew what path needed to be taken, but I had to run through this 12-15 minute ordeal each and every time just to get to the same point of where I am trying to force the correct path, and with it being no flexibility whatsoever, I appreciated the concept, the approach. And everything about it is just a matter of an actual practice playing it, getting to that perfect ending, getting to just finishing the game, like truly finishing it. It became a chore for me.
Yeah, I don't feel as strongly that it was a chore. But what I'll say is that due to the concept of the loop and how it works, it's not a game that I can confidently say like you should sit down and have a good time with it, because it's kind of long. And if you step away from it, I think there's a very good chance that you're going to be completely lost when you come back. Like, it's almost too long for its own good. And I kind of wish it was a shorter, more direct line through, or there was more hints to how to get to the end. But at the same time, I found it clever enough that, like, I've played a lot of adventure games in my day. I am not the best at them, but I'm someone that tries to, like, you know, beat my head against it and just like I want to finish this. And I think it scratches that itch. I think it, for people that enjoy that style of puzzle, I think this is actually one of the better ones, in that because of the space, you know that you're sort of confined to the space. And when you find something new, you immediately can sort of see how it plays into this loop. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Like, now that I got this, if I wait to this moment, like you're almost like a director in some ways, and you're sort of directing the scene to go the way that you want it to go. And I think that's super compelling. I think that's super fun. But there's it's sometimes it can be a long time before you figure that next thing out. And if it was a game that I could sort of put down and come back to later, that'd be great. But it's just really not built that way. And it needs something a bit more, in my opinion, to sort of push it past that finish line. I hate doing caveats in the show. I almost want to say, like, look, if you're willing to open a guide and only look at it in the basic terms of just like I'm hitting a wall here, you know, what's next? Or if you're willing to know that, like, look, this is a 5 or 6 hour experience that, I mean, I guess if you're really smart, you could get it done quicker, but it's a 5 or 6 hour experience that you really have to sit down and play to the end. You know, I think that's the best way to do it, but I can't, that's not good, right? Like those are not positive things to say. I think there's a very, very specific niche audience that would enjoy it. But for all the reasons that we said, I unfortunately have to say that I would probably pass on it. I don't think it's worth your time, especially because I don't think the ending is particularly strong either. So,
I with all of that, especially the ending part, after all those loops and all that, all those runs, you really kind of want a chunkier payoff, and I don't think it quite delivers. It goes in a different direction, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, it goes in a direction that I think compelling is not the word that I want to use. I think it goes in an interesting direction, but I don't think it goes far enough. I think if you really sit down and you sort of think like the philosophical sort of meaning behind it, I think you could have a good conversation about it, but I don't think it's a strong enough ending that it kind of feels like a twist for the sake of a twist, which is never a good thing in my opinion. So when it comes to that, we're going to say pass on it, but now we're going to move into the spoiler section just to talk and to be able to go into that a little bit more detail of maybe some of the things that stopped us and the ending and stuff like that. I know you said that, you know, you ran into a couple walls. I'm curious to where you hit the wall hardest.
For this, and that's part of kind of frustrating me, is a lot of simple stuff, like the lightning, using that as a way to convince your wife that you're living in a loop.
I actually never had to do that. Which I wanted to make a comment when you're talking about flexibility and you had to sort of go through a beeline. And I don't know if that's entirely true. I'm trying to remember. Oh, so did you ever find the present?
Yes.
So I was able to convince her with the present by telling her what was in the box before that. Like, I actually didn't know about the thunder until after, or the lightning until after I beat the game.
It kept asking me for two. She kept asking me for another example of me being able to know I was living in a loop. So I'm like, okay, so there's something here, but I just completely forgot it. I just completely I knew it was a lightning. I just didn't know how to trigger it, I guess,
right?
Because it needs to happen at a certain time, which is kind of the issue I have with 12 minutes is that you call it 12 minutes and it takes place in 12 minutes and 12 minutes and 12 minutes and clocks and clocks. There are some gameplay elements that if you don't get to it fast enough, like the lightning or her drinking water, she won't be thirsty again. Like you missed it. And then you have to just play out that loop. Or you can walk out the door too and just force it through. But I mean, like, if the game was more like that, I guess, whereas like a series of events that happens in literally 12 minutes, I think I could wrap my head around it a little better. But like the fact that there's some loops that will last you quite a while because it's scripted to allow you to ask multiple questions.
Right.
Then there's some where you just ask the wrong question and the loop's done. And it's like,
yeah, it really needs like a rewind or fast forward. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, to give me a little bit of leeway, because there was a time where, and I actually think that some people, from the feedback that I've read, I don't think they knew that you could walk out the front door and reset the time loop, because it never tells you that. At the very least, I totally understand that a rewind and fast forward, you could kind of break the, that sort of defeats the purpose, right? Like, you're supposed to be stuck in the loop, and it's supposed to be maddening. And I almost feel like I don't think there's any way there was a version of this game at some point where that was not considered. I think it was a deliberate decision to not include those things because it then breaks the loop. But it
breaks
also
immersion, if anything, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but not only that, but this game feels like one of those games where it's trying to make a point, and part of the point is that you need to feel the frustration of the loop as well, so to sort of, you know, put yourself in the shoes of the character.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah.
And that's kind of the caveat, I guess, to all that is it just, I don't know if it's particularly strong in that regard of yes, I feel the frustration of the loop, but I don't feel it for the reason that the main character does. I feel it because I want to get to the end of the thing. Like, it's one of those decisions where I think it makes sense on paper and probably in some players' heads, but I think a majority of people are going to find that to be extremely frustrating. But again, that's just a tough thing. But I'm trying to think. Like, I got stuck for quite a while on – I could not get the daughter to call the cop because there's basically like the storyline to where
right.
He comes in and he wants to like kick down the door and put us in cuffs and all that. But you have to call the daughter to tell the father to hear you out, basically. So,
right.
So my issue with the game is like, it took me a little bit of time
but did you know that's what you wanted to do or needed to be done? Like that you got the daughter's number and you want to get the daughter involved. Is that basically what the logic was?
No, I didn't get there at first. When I finally got the number of the daughter, because I had found the phone in the closet but I couldn't find a use for it. So I couldn't get the daughter's phone. For some odd reason, I could not figure out how to get him from breaking in and just going apeshit, basically. Oh, crap. And just being upset. Like, I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do there. And eventually, when I got the daughter's phone number, I think I figured it out, but it took me longer than it should have. I sort of mimic how you feel of like when I first started, I was super into it, right? Like, I was like, this is kind of neat. This is kind of cool. But it took me a long time to let the time loop play out. Like, I kept trying to do things in my head. I was like, I don't want the loop to restart, right? So I need to do something before it. And once it sort of clicked in my brain, I was like, wait a minute. No, I need to let this loop play out with this scenario. So that way, because maybe there's different information. Once I figured that out, I was super, super high on the game. But it doesn't tell you that. Because for the longest time, the cop would come in, put us down. And I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. Eventually, when I found the phone and I stayed in the closet, and then I was like, well, I'm just going to let this play out. Like, that was like a eureka moment for me. And I was like, that's actually really freaking cool that like, I only changed one thing and this entire thing played out differently. And that keeps happening throughout the game of, you know, eventually you sort of the light switch. When I figured out the light switch, because that was one where I, you know, you flip it once and he's like, ah, and then you flip it again and you're like, and it shocks. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do there? And one, like, those moments are awesome. But then as the loop keeps going on, I'm just like, okay, like, where are we going here? Like what's it seemed, I don't want to call it lazy writing, but it sort of feels that way in that.
Well, can you go on, like, I don't know how much time we got left. This might be a longer one, I feel like, for some reason. Like, the game called 12 Minutes is taking us the longest to review. going quickly to the ending, like the true ending, I guess.
What about it? That's like, a big question.
Just them in, like, so, like, the idea of lazy writing, I guess.
So
didn't like... I honestly did not like the, like where it went after, because like I was into a murder mystery or a classic whodunit all over this pocket watch and petty cash and whatever. But then it's like, but now we're in a room and we're, giving this giant exposition, I feel like.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I think the lazy writing comment comes in, because when you sort of, you know, it basically revolves around, like, your sister killed your brother. No, that's not right. Killed her mother, something like that. See, that's the thing. I don't even remember what it was. By the end, it's a mess, and, like, you find the watch, and the watch sort of ends up being the key, and then the watch, like, by the end of it, I was like, none of this actually matters. Like, none of these pieces, this story doesn't actually matter, because you basically find out you're sort of having, like, an identity crisis, or whatever you want to call it, or of a mental illness of basically incest with your sister. And at least that's the interpretation I got, is that maybe it's your father. I don't know if it's your father. He's trying to be psychologically remove it. He's trying to treat you, basically. And you either make the decision to be treated or not. If you make the decision to be treated, then the game ends the way it's supposed to, in that you are not cured, but you have realized that it's something that you should not partake in, and it is wrong to love your sister, but, like, well, in that way. And that, you know, that's a way to take it. Like, I'm not saying that it's bad, but
I'm not a fan of that. I'm just not a fan of it at all, because, like, it feels like a really, like, I think you said it at the beginning of the show, like a twist for the sake of it being a twist. Right. Like, why couldn't this be just a story about a husband and wife, and a husband didn't know who his wife really was in the past? He starts to judge her. And as a player, we get paranoid. We distrust her, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh wait, it was a misunderstanding, and this that, and all of a sudden, like, it's not the way we thought it was. But it goes beyond that to a point where it's like, oh, this is all fake. Like, I don't like that.
I think the moment where you, because the game sort of starts breaking down when you sort of find out that, because your wife in your head, which that's the other thing. So basically, like, everything in this game isn't actually happening. Correct? Maybe? At least that's the vibe I get from it.
Yeah, I'm saying this was like a mental space, and that would make sense.
To why there's even a loop to begin with,
like, right?
So, like, when you sort of find out that is your sister, and she is pregnant with your child, like, that's when he really starts to kind of lose it. But I feel like there needed to be more expose into that moment. Because that moment, like, it does happen, and the game sort of changes a little bit to where he sort of starts realizing this, and then he starts breaking. But then it turns into a game again. Like, I almost needed a Max Payne style, or, like, a Control style. Like, I just realized it was from the same developer. But I needed a moment to where things just get really freaking weird. And, like, if you're going to go down this path to where he's living in this headspace, or we're living in this headspace, I need to feel exactly why he's so distraught, and I didn't get that. Like, you can make this twist, but I need more there. But then it sort of breaks the game, and I actually think the other two quote endings of if you do not decide to, it's not even really a choice, though. Like, that's the thing, is to get to the actual ending, you have to sort of, I don't want to say break the rules, but you have to really be paying attention to a bookshelf in particular, and, you know, these little nods, and basically it's, I feel like I'm talking around it, like I'm not trying to spoil it, but it really is just, it's not told very well. So by the end of it, the other two endings, I think, actually sort of show you what could happen if you were to fail your quote mission, or not be healed, which is an interesting take, but again, it's not told well. So I'm just, yeah, by the end, I was just kind of like, you know, whatever. Like,
I mean, that was sort of the, for me, the ultimate decision to just be like, I can't fully recommend it, you know, as a pass on to your friends, because if after all the frustration, after all the looping, if after all the back and forth, after all the mystery's been solved, it's like, there was a really solid payoff. Absolutely, I think that would have brought me back around the other way. But like for it to have a unsatisfying end for me as well, while I'm being frustrated at times, I'm just like, I can't do it.
Yeah, as we're sort of talking it out, I struggle to see, like, because this game is pretty divisive so far, and I'm sort of struggling to see the people that are praising it, and I'm not to say that their opinion's wrong or anything, but like, even from I still really like the idea. I think it's a very solid idea that got caught in a writing dilemma of how do you deliver this sort of story without just telling the story. Like, but at the same time, I also think if the game just would have ended where it's this couple and he doesn't know his wife, and then it's about this pocket watch and, you know, who killed her. But the problem is, like, you're not attached to any of those characters. So it ends up just being like a very, very loose mystery that is not like, it's like, oh, someone else killed her mom. It's like, but I'm not attached to her mom. So it's weird in that sense. And then, and that, you know, then like the cop doesn't really make any sense at all in this, or the quote cop, because he's not really a cop. He's a hitman, basically. Like, it makes those characters not make any sense. But this ending sort of makes sense in terms of this being the main character's fight, I guess you could say. But at the same time, I don't feel like the fight of that character is told in a way that is compelling. I think by the end of it, I was kind of like, oh, okay, like that's... It puts some things into perspective, but it doesn't put the journey into perspective. It doesn't, like, does me putting sleeping pills in my wife's drink and having her fall asleep and then shocking the cop and then shooting me in the leg, like, that doesn't really make sense in this context. It makes sense that why he's stuck in this loop, but the things that I was doing do not tie into the ending. So it just feels very disjointed by the end of it. And that's why I was just kind of like, you know, I still enjoyed my time with it and I'm glad I played it, but that's coming from someone who plays a lot of video games. And I think out of context, if I told someone the story of this game, they would just be like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, why would you want to play that kind of thing? Like, that doesn't sound fun at all. Like, that's a topic that I don't want to hear about. You know, that's not an enjoyable topic. So I think it's bold, but it's bold in a way that isn't helping it.
I think it's bold and it's not in a way that's super pretentious and makes it not enjoyable as a, like completely unenjoyable, I guess, because it's really just that need to make this twisty ending that, like I said, just kind of threw me over the fence, where it's like, all right, it just wasn't worth my time. And that's why I brought up Disco Elysium, because although, like, it's like you say perfectly, it's different design dog, but it deals with themes of mental illness and stuff like that in a way where, in a world even, where you kind of don't think, like, there are monsters and aliens and stuff, and you're like, is this happening? Is this real? And by the end of it, it's such a simple wrap-up. It's like, it's almost calming. It's like, oh, okay, all right, it all makes sense now. It's one of those kind of things where it's like, this is the opposite, where it's like, is this real? Is this fake? Oh, wait, so this whole time has been fake, but just for it to be this instead? Like, why?
Right.
Like,
well, I think in a vacuum, like, this is the perfect example of just, like, man, video games are hard to make. Like,
oh, absolutely. Like,
you know... You look at something like BioShock and, like, BioShock and BioShock Infinite get a lot of crap nowadays. Like, those are games that I think people have soured on as time has gone on, especially BioShock Infinite.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's like, I get it. Like, I was someone who played BioShock Infinite when it first came out, and I sort of figured it out. Like, before the reveal happened, I had figured it out. But at the same time, like, it's told in a way that you may not... It ends up being cliche in its own universe, but at the same time, BioShock established a universe that was completely unique and follows its own rule sets in a way that fooled a lot of people in a good way. Like, and that took hundreds and hundreds of people making that game, along with writers, you know, and you know, there's been talks about how that game was just like a pain to make because they decided to change things, you know, here. And it's just like video games being complete and put out the door is amazing to begin with. And stuff like BioShock, to put it out in a way that can not only be compelling as from a gameplay perspective, but from a narrative perspective that keeps the player guessing once a generation. You know, you don't get that. And this was a game made by one dude. And so it's amazing that it exists, but I think it's falling victim to just being, man, video games are super hard to make.
And by the way, can you tell it's been a while since we've done a podcast? Because this is, we've gone on quite a bit,
right? A little bit.
I will build on that just by simply saying I feel like, to me, great twists are the ones that you kind of see coming. Like it did it, like right. The great twists are the ones that like it was already there. You had ample time to figure it out.
The Prestige to me is the ultimate.
Perfect example. Sixth Sense, the perfect example. Then you got somewhat recently, Westworld season one.
Right.
When you saw it a mile away, but at the same time, the reveal is still so good.
Right. Because even if you figured it out, you didn't figure it completely out.
Exactly.
Like, there's something like, but
that's not in 12 minutes. Like in 12 minutes, it's different. Right. It's almost like a complete bait and switch in terms of story.
Right.
And that's where I don't like it.
Yeah, it makes sense looking back in terms of the theme of the game, which is 12 minutes and is being in this loop. But everything inside of it is hollow because it doesn't make sense. Like, the reason that you can see it coming is because it makes sense. Like, that's, you know, Shutter Island's another one. Like, if you really pay attention to that movie, it's like,
yeah,
oh,
everywhere.
Like, okay. It's like, it, like, and it, if I played 12 minutes again, the same way as if I played BioShock again, or I played BioShock Infinite, or I watched The Sixth Sense, you know, et cetera, you pick up on more things. Maybe that's going to be in 12 minutes, but I would bet a significant amount. There's not a lot. There's not a lot of tell. Like, some people have said that the red book is the same book that the wife is reading, which is the same book you have to sort of trigger to get to the end of the game.
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Sure. I wasn't compelled enough to go back and look, but like, even if that's true, doesn't really matter.
Like, no, it doesn't. And that's the thing. Like, certain things don't translate. Like, it is not like you're in the doctor's office, and maybe I missed it, but it's not like you're in the office and you're going, oh, the assistant was the cop the whole time. Oh, right. That book was on the coffee table the whole time. Oh, like, the knife was actually this pen that was over there the whole time. Like it wasn't like things were mashing up. It was just simply like, oh, this is a different story now. Welcome.
Right. And there's not a hint of any type of romantic family relationships at all in this game. Like, maybe it's there and I completely missed it, but I find that hard to believe. Like, it takes that turn that is extremely bold and difficult to even really talk about, in a sense that, you know, that doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. But, and I understand that's the point, but again, the point is mainly that at the end it just doesn't, it's not cohesive. But I think we've said our piece of why we don't like it, and, you know, in spoiler free and spoiler filled. So safe to say that when it comes to the 12 minutes, pass on it, especially if you've listened to this part. We've spoiled it for you, so there's literally nothing that you left for you to know. So
unless it was a slightly better game, and then it's still worth going through anyway. But I don't think it's that.
Yeah. I don't think it is either. But let us know what you think about 12 minutes. GPopFans@gmail.com, or you can choose a voicemail or text message, 574-651-9256. I feel like I have a lisp today. I don't know why. Do I have a lisp?
Do you have a lisp? I think you just got it. Those last sentences.
Because I said it out loud, now I can't. Now I can't stop. Okay. 574-651-9256. The next game we're going to be talking about is Double Fine's Psychonauts 2. So that's going to be on next week's episode. And then after that, we are still going to be doing an episode. I'm going to make him do it. I'm making Basher do it. Doom 64. Don't know when that will be coming, but we will be doing that. We also still have to finish Halo, which we will be doing before Halo Infinite arrives on December 8th. We've got Halo 3 ODST, Halo 4, and Halo 5 to go through. And then obviously we will be doing an episode on Halo Infinite. But unfortunately, we won't be playing that in co-op because reasons, which kind of sucks.
Reasons.
But is what it is, I guess, in this case. I guess if you want to play Forge, you're not going to be doing that either. But no co-op in the campaign is a real real blunder there, guys. But what are you going to do? So I thought about maybe we'll do like a gut check on Halo, but who knows? Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. So there was also some games announced. There's one in particular that I want to play. I think it's only on console, though, but let me look it up really fast. Maybe, maybe not. I wanted to play The Artful Escape.
I like escaping things. I'm so down.
That was a game that's one of the another Annapurna. Like Annapurna's like they remind me of Devolver in that they're starting to sort of get a feng shui to what they publish. They usually publish kind of different and artsy and sort of unique perspectives, whereas Devolver is all about the 2D action, you know, pixel art, over the top, fun things. So, all right, there you go. That's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We will see you next time with Psychonauts 2.
Good day, sirs.
And we are out. Oh, I hope if I stop the audacity.